Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, March 16th. Colorado has fallen out of the top 10 coal-producing states in the country. Like many states, Colorado is looking for alternative sources that can produce cleaner energy and provide more jobs. For Inside Energy, Arianna Brocious looks at a new energy source in Nebraska that might be an example for Colorado.
The Sheldon Station Power Plant hums day and night near the small town of Hallam, about 25 miles south of Lincoln, Nebraska. In dim yellow light on the ninth floor, plant manager Chris Cervaney opens a door to reveal a long tunnel.
So this conveyor goes all the way down to the ground level, and that's where we bring coal into the plant twice a day.
Sheldon Station's two boilers burn that coal to create steam, which powers a turbine to generate electricity for the Nebraska Public Power District. But in a few years, that will change, says John Swanson, NPPD's Generation Strategy Manager.
We like to refer to this as the new chapter in Sheldon's history, and it's the hydrogen chapter.
Swanson says he's called the rock turner, tasked with finding innovative ways of generating energy for the state's largest utility.
And we've looked under a lot of rocks and not found anything anywhere near this attractive in the past.
In a few years, one of Sheldon Station's coal-fired units will be converted to burn hydrogen gas, cutting carbon emissions from that unit nearly down to zero. The source of that hydrogen will be a new $50 million manufacturing plant built by a California-based startup called Monolith Materials. Robert Hansen is co-founder and chief operating officer.
We manufacture two products. One is called Carbon Black. It's a chemical that's used as raw material for tires, it's used in plastics, it's used in batteries. It's really ubiquitous material. And then we also make hydrogen.
Most carbon black is made from heavy petroleum. Hansen and his partner, both Stanford-educated mechanical engineers, developed a new method to make it from natural gas. They use electricity to split apart the atoms of hydrogen and carbon, keeping the carbon out of the atmosphere.
So the emissions from our process are roughly 90% lower than the conventional way of making these two products.
Monolith will give their hydrogen byproduct to NPPD's Sheldon Station, believed to be the first major power plant in this country combusting hydrogen to produce electricity.
The reason we don't have more hydrogen burning plants, hydrogen is considered somewhat of an exotic fuel.
That's NPPD project engineer John Meacham. He says Monolith will generate enough hydrogen that the Sheldon Station power plant can continue to produce the same amount of power it does now.
It has, to this point, been very difficult to obtain in quantities needed to operate a power plant.
To produce that much hydrogen, Monolith's process requires a lot of natural gas and a lot of electricity. Once the factory is up and running, Monolith will become the largest electric consumer in Nebraska, using about as much electricity as the city of Lincoln. Around a third of that electricity is generated by burning fossil fuels. Carbon-free sources, nuclear, wind, and hydro, provide most of the rest.
They need a lot of electricity to crack those molecules. NPPD will sell them electricity. We will then buy that byproduct hydrogen back.
Because the hydrogen is derived from natural gas, it's not considered renewable energy. But NPPD estimates that the project will reduce their total CO2 emissions by about 1 million tons a year. Monolith broke ground last fall and estimates their whole plant will be up and running by 2020 or 2021. Hansen says they'll hire between 100 and 125 full-time employees at competitive salaries. He says they considered numerous factors in deciding where to build their first commercial plant.
Things like infrastructure, availability of natural gas, availability of electricity, availability of rail, cost of living and labor force, and what partnerships we could develop in the states.
Hansen says Nebraska's cheap, stable electric rates and the public power partnerships is what ultimately led them here. John Swanson, NPPD's Generation Strategy Manager, is already talking about the possibilities of expanding to other coal plants in the state.
We are doing our best to convince Monolith to make Nebraska the carbon black capital of the world.
So, hydrogen could take the place of a little more coal in Nebraska's energy mix in the future. For Inside Energy, I'm Arianna Brocious.
In other news from the energy sector, the cleanup from an oil spill outside of Rangeley continues. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, more than 4,800 gallons of oil spilled into a dry drainage. The spill was discovered March 5th and was caused by a pipeline leak. Chevron personnel first found the leak, which poured oil into a drainage leading to Stinking Water Creek. The line was shut off following the discovery. The failed section of pipe has been sent off for analysis. The spill occurred on Bureau of Land Management land and covered about 2 miles through terrain heavy with vegetation. 2 ducks, 2 other birds, and 3 mice reportedly died because of the spill. Days before the spill, the Center for Western Priorities Conservation Group said that last year, Chevron reported 31 oil spills in the state, the 4th highest number of spills of any energy company in Colorado. No water was impacted by the spill, and there were no public health concerns. And finally today, church leaders from around the West gathered in Denver yesterday to protest the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. Eric Galatis has this story.
The struggle over efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act isn't over. Health groups have opposed the GOP's replacement plan, which, according to Congressional Budget Office estimates, would cause 24 million people to lose coverage. And on Wednesday, a coalition including some 600 church members representing 14 Western states gathered in Denver to urge elected officials to vote against the bill. Adam Fox with the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative says the proposed $880 billion in cuts to Medicaid could mean the loss of long-term care for seniors and people with disabilities, and working families would also take a hit.
We know that over 80% of the Coloradans that are covered under the Affordable Care Act have at least a part-time job. This would really take away coverage from hardworking Coloradans if the repeal bill goes through.
The CBO report found the proposal also would increase the cost of insurance by 15 to 20%. House Speaker Paul Ryan says the measure will ultimately reduce premiums, improve access to quality care, and lower the federal deficit. Colorado Congressman Doug Lanborn has called the CBO's findings into question, according to the Colorado Independent. He noted that the agency underestimated the number of people to gain coverage under Obamacare. Representative Diana DeGette said a better solution would be to find bipartisan solutions to improve the ACA. Fox notes consumers still have time to make their voices heard, as the House could vote on the measure as early as next week.
It's important to communicate with their members of Congress. Share your own personal story. Usually those are the most effective in giving some context to what having health insurance and having health coverage and access to care really means.
The ACA replacement proposal was welcomed by President Trump and congressional leaders, but conservative stalwarts such as the Heritage Foundation's lobbying arm and the American Enterprise Institute opposed the plan. The American Medical Association, the American Hospital Association, and other health groups have also come out against the bill. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.